Okay,
do we?
Four kings against the five kings. Okay, we talked about that yesterday at all?
We talked about how Dalin is physical and heavy.
Okay.
We talked about the 12 and 13.
Yeah. All right, good. All right, so now you're going to have the four kings against the five kings. And Rashi tells us who some of these four kings are.
I just did Amrapol,
right. Now, the Ramban is going to tell us that these four kings represent the four different Goliaths that Klal Yisrael will endure throughout their history. And just point of notice, Rashi told us, did we learn the Rashi, Tidal Melech Goyim?
It's either that he was the king of multiple nations or that was the actual name of the country.
Right, Rashi actually combines them both. I think the measure really, I think it separates them, but Rashi combines them both. Rashi says that he was called the king of Goyim because he was in charge of many nations. So the nation was called Goyim, like the United States of America, etc. Either way, the point is that this Tidal was in charge of many, many nations. And the reason why that's referenced here, or what's alluded to over here, is because, as Ramban tells us, these four nations represent the four different Goliaths. And if you see the Ramban actually shows how the names of each king taka fit. There are remes for each one of the Goliaths. But the four kings, the fourth one represents the fourth Goliath. The fourth Goliath is which Goliath is the fourth Goliath? But what's he called?
Adam.
Goliath what? Edom, not Adam. Edom, also known as Goliath Rome. One feature that makes Golus Edom different than the other three Golis is every other Golis was localized. Babel took place in Babel, obviously. Yavon took place in Eretz, Pars of Madai. The Golus of Edom is all over the world. Chazal used the expression Sheshalach Trunya L'chol Amim, that he sends out his to the rest of the nation of the world. In other words, he instigates all over the world. And that's really the character of Golus Rome. While Rome is localized to the place called Rome, right? But we know the Catholic Church, and as well as the Sinner of Hilchos of Halacha Ace of Sones Yaakov, is spread out the entire world. So that's why the fourth Golus is Tidal Melech Goyim, because Tidal Melech Goyim is parallel to the fourth Golus, which is also amongst many, many nations. You follow? So Tidal Melech Goyim is appropriately named for the Golus of Edom, which is not localized, just like Melech Goyim is a king of many nations. It wasn't localized. You follow? Okay. So now we have that the four Goliaths are represented by these four kings, and they do battle against five kings. We're not going to spend more time really on the significance of four or five. I just want to read the psukim themselves, look on with each other for a second. All right? Five kings. And I, Rashi, you'll do it yourself. I'm not going to go through it with you, but you're responsible. Rashi explains why he's called Beira, why is it called Birsha, and why is it called Shinov, and why is it called Shemever.
Rashi,
what?
We should go through it.
You can go through it yourselves. You're responsible. They're very, very simple. And you need to know. I'm telling myself. It's very simple, Rashi's. And you got to do it yourself. All right? Now, Kol Eila Chavru El Emek Hasidim. They all gathered in a place called Emek Hasidim. Hu Yama Melech, Yama Melech. Shteim Esvei Shana Avdu Es Kidla Omer. For 12 years, they were enslaved by Kidla Omer. Right? Which one of the four kings. Hu Shloisa Esvei Shana Mardu. And either the 13th year or for 13 years they rebelled. Uba'arba esrei shana, ba'kidl amar v'lacha, she'ito v'yakas, refine bashar, k'nayim, v'zuzim, v'hem, v'za'im, v'shava k'rsayim. And the 13th year they rebelled, the 14th year they engaged in battle, and they did battle, v'sachayu, b'haram seir, ad el parvan, ashal midbar. V'yishuv v'yol ayim mishpon, v'kaz v'yakas, kol stay amaleki, v'gamas amay yoshim, v'chatzaitzen, tamar. And the four kings totally destroyed the five kings. Some of the Mefarshim point out that the reason why the Torah elaborates in this Melchama is because it's remarkable. If four kings could defeat five kings, and obviously not just four kings, it means four armies against five armies, and that's a pretty massive thing to have a whole extra army be defeated. What does that tell you about the superior strength of the four kings? right? Obviously, world powers. And yet, Avram went up against them to get Lot. So, in a certain sense, I mean, everyone's bothered by why these whole why spend so much time about the four kings, five kings. Well, just tell us that, you know, Avram went to save Lot, who was kidnapped. But I think others, maybe even Sfarno says, I'm not sure, Sfarno Taka says it. V'yakos v'fayim es azuzim behem es ha'emim, look at Sfarno, shayu kulam avadim l'chamisha malachim, v'nulchama abadam, u'bizah hodiyya shayu chamisha malachim g'daylam, v'diyya gvora arba malachim. If the five kings enslaved the four kings, they were servants, obviously the five kings were powerful. And yet the four kings could overtake the five kings. What does it tell you about the four kings? Umizeh noidal gvuras Avram. And here says Sfarno, from this, we can see how great Avram was, right? If Avram is able to take on the four kings, and the four kings took on the five kings, so imagine the gvur of Avram. V'tachbulois of Mechamtai. And he says, tachbulois, that he was clever in his strategy of a battle. And not only his gvura, v'chasad of Mechav. It also speaks of his great chesed, that Avram went out of his way, not out of his way, bad choice of words, Avram did something rather risky, that for the chesed, because he promised Lot that he'd be with him, and stay by his side, he takes on the four kings, who clearly are world-class powers, if they can defeat five armies. Shemosar atzmai lizgabalein, he gave himself up to defeat them, Ulashia Mecher Mipiyam, as Benochim Besrachushai, to save his nephew and his possessions. Okay. So that is the Sfarno's take, and why the entire preamble, to really just, it's all done as background, if you will. Obviously, it's more than that. The Torah doesn't just do background, but on one level, is background for us to appreciate the tremendous chesed, mesiris nefesh, dedication, and commitment to his word. If he told Avram, if he told Lord, I'll be there for you, he was going to be there for him. Once you give your word, you give your word. And you know, obviously, again, you could ask the question, did Avram have a right to put himself in Sakana because he gave his word? And you and I, probably not. There's a Maisa with the, I think it's a Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I'm pretty sure, not entirely sure, that it was a couple, please stop that, there was a couple that came to him, they weren't able to have children, and whatever, I don't know the whole background, but he gave him a bracha that they'd have a boy within the year, and he'd be the tzaddik. And kachava, that they had a child within a year, you know, they had children for years, and it was a boy, and he promised to be a tzaddik. Anyway, the breast turned out to be at a very, very inopportune time. The Arabs had gone on to riot, as was fairly, common, but certainly not uncommon, with the Arabs and Yerushalayim, and they were mamish, it was like pogroms. And so it was unsafe to walk the streets. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, again, it's either Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld his family was very concerned for taking a risk that you can't go. You can't take this walk. It's dangerous. Might have even been on Shabbos, and therefore he had to walk. I don't remember anymore. Might have even been on Shabbos. Anyway, Rosh Hashanah, I gave him a word. I must go. Okay, word, must go. He says, he'll go. And Kachava, the story goes that he started walking through the streets. The Arabs, who were middle of rioting, they saw him. They stopped their fighting, let him go through, then they continued the fighting. That's the mice that's been reported. I read it in a few places. Okay, bottom line is, Avram gave his word to Lot. Ida's in Lachama, he gave his word. When a tzaddik gives a word, he has an extra obligation for that Kiddush Hashem. Person on a higher level has more of an obligation to Kiddush Hashem for obvious reasons. And we'll see here, everything that drives Avram is Kiddush Hashem. Even the fact that he saves Lot is because he wants to prevent Echil Hashem. We'll see in a few moments. Okay, aside from the fact he gave his word, we'll see why. Okay, so that is really up through Pesukim Zayin. Let's now see Pesuk Ches. And this way, it kind of picks up to a story. And these five kings went down to do battle. And now the five kings went up ahead, and they go against these four kings. Now, by the way, we can count, right? I think you and I, we can count up to five for sure, right? So is a positive test strange? Look at positive test. Eske the Omer Melech Eilam, the Tidla Melech Goyim, Armaf Melech Shinar, Ayach Melech Lesser, Arum Melechim Esach Hamisha. Four kings against the five. Well, you just listed the five kings. You just named the four kings. It doesn't take much to figure out. It's four against five, right? Why does the Torah have to sum up? Oh, four kings against five. Obviously, this speaks of what we said earlier.
This shows the power of the four kings. Well,
so Rashi says the afal pikein nitzchwa muatim leidechshuvim hayu, and Rashi says the afal pikein leinim avram leivarem. And Rashi says in the Sfarno said actually, I don't know why I quote the Sfarno. Sfarno elaborates on it more, but Sfarno says the same thing. And Rashi is commenting why to say four kings against the five. So Sfarno says it. Rashi says it over here. Sfarno says it earlier because it looks like Rashi is trying to explain why the Torah sums up four against five. So he's learning that the sum up is to emphasize that imagine how powerful these four were, and Avram still went up against them, right? But another pshat is the reason why the Torah sums up four against five is because of what I told you yesterday. Because the Torah is telling you that this is a battle of four against five. This is a battle of the number four against the number five, so to speak. So the reason why the Torah sums it up because the Torah is emphasizing it's the battle of four against the battle of five.
So,
all right. Okay.
Spiritual?
On a spiritual level, correct. So the Emek Hasidim, the Eiras Beiras Chema. This is Pasuk Yud, and Emek Hasidim. There were these pits, these lime pits. Vayinusim Melz Dov Amora Vayuplu Shama. And the kings of Sodom and Amora fell into these pits. Were kind of like, and they were kind of like quicksand. It was you could die. Vayinusim Haranosu, and the rest fled. And Rashi tells us that actually brings a reddish that there was a nace to the Melech Stone that was able to extricate himself from there. And Rashi says the nace was done, that it was done because there were people that were not believers, that Avram was saved from Or Kasdim, that he was saved from the flames, and therefore Hashem made another nace that these people were saved from his lime pits, and it clearly was in the schus of Avram, because I was engaged in this battle, and therefore retroactively they now believe that Avram was safe in the fire too. It's a very strange medrash that Hashem needed to do a miracle now, so they believe in Avram's miracle earlier, and let them not believe Avram's miracle, but now let them believe in Avram now. It's interesting why Hashem needed that they should believe in the earlier miracle as well. But anyway, they were saved in the schus of Avram. And the reason why that's important is because we're going to juxtapose this. They were saved in the schus of Avram. Let's see how they conduct themselves towards Avram. All right? Just keep that in mind. Now, even though Rashi doesn't say this, but Lechora, we'll see that this is done to juxtapose how they react to Avram versus somebody else. We'll see in Malki Tzedek. All right. Okay. So that's the Pesukim. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayichu es kol ruchus dom va'amora ves kol ochlam vayayichu. And they took, the four kings took what? They took all the ruchus of stone and amora, and they went. And they also, because who lived in stone? Lot. So vayichu es Lot, they grabbed Lot, which means they kidnapped him, ves ruchusho, and his possessions, ben achi Avram, and he was his nephew of Avram, vayayichu, and they went, v'hu yoyshev b'stom. And he meaning Lot, was sitting in stone. Like, why do you got to tell me he was sitting in stone? So Rashi says, "Mi garam lo zos." What caused him that to be kidnapped? Yeshivas of his stone. The choice that he made to live in stone is why Hashem allowed him to be kidnapped. Okay.
Just going to a bad place, even like if you think you're not going to be influenced. I mean, you might. Even if you're like going to try and stay away, like.
Right. That's right. And that was yes.
So, i.e., living in America.
No, America is not quite as though. All right.
But he needs to do the essay.
Please stop it. Okay. So. Something strange. Tell me, guys. Listen to the puzzle again. Vayichos Lot, they kidnapped Lot. Vesra Chusho, they took all his possessions. Ben Achi Avram, he was the nephew of Avram. Vayilech, when they went, who Yosheb is Stone, but he was sitting in stone, and that was what caused him to be kidnapped. Anything problematic about this puzzle?
No, I mean,
it says that he was sitting in Sodom after they took him out of
Sodom. Yeah, that's strange, right? That Veichos Lot, right? Who Yosef was saying after they took him, says he was staying in Sodom, right? Yeah, it is strange, right? Why that order?
Why is sitting in Sodom?
Yeah, and meaning as opposed to what?
Dwelling.
Well, that usually means that. But it's interesting, Yosef is present tense. It's even more problematic. They kidnap him and he's sitting in Sodom.
So it seems like he had present tense.
So you could say, right, he had been sitting. But that's not really...
So
okay.
So based on that, you would say that they imprisoned him in the city.
No, it gives the cause of why.
Well, if he was in Sodom, then why would it... Why
should that?
You already know he's in Sodom.
I agree.
So the Ibn Ezra with Pshat says that day he happened to be in Sodom, so they chapped him that day. That day he was in Sodom. You know, he's trying to, you know, tell us why the information is given, but it's certainly
he
wasn't usually in Sodom. I don't know. It sounds like maybe, you know, he did his business elsewhere. It's not clear. That's what everybody seems to be saying. But there's no Rashbam here. I just see Rashbam. Okay. But anyway. But there's another... Listen, what else is problematic? They kidnapped Lot, and it took his possessions. He was a nephew of Avram. Isn't that a strange order? What should it say?
They kidnapped Lot the nephew
Thank
of
you.
Avram, and
Thank you.
Took his possessions.
Ayichwas Lot ben Achi Avram. That's what Chushai said. Right? It's bizarre. Vayich was Lot v'esruchusha ben Achi Avram. It's backwards. So some learn pshat like this.
Even his...
You know what his ruchush was? That he was the nephew of Avram. His claim to fame was that he was the nephew of Avram. And you know why they took him? Because he was the nephew of Avram. The reason they went after him is because he was the nephew of Avram, and they're really going after Avram. We'll see. Remember we said earlier that when Avram said Ki Anoshim Acham Anachnu, we look alike, right? We look alike. Remember Rashi said why is it called Achim? Remember that?
Because they looked alike.
Because it looked alike, right? So we explained that it doesn't just mean physically in features, but you know Chazal say Kimosha Patzafein Einan Domas Kach Ein Dein Sein Domas. What does Chazal say? Just like no two people's face are alike, no two people's characters are alike.
But right? I have seen...
Well, one second. Just like no two people's face are alike, so no people's character are like different snowflakes. Right? But let's do the reverse. If they do look alike, that means they are alike, right? So when the Chazal say that Lot looked like Avram, what Chazal is really saying is that somehow they did have similar features, not just physically, but in their personality. In other words, when you saw Lot, you were reminded of Avram. Meaning that Lot, despite his tremendous rishis, there was a vestige of Avram inside of Lot. And we'll discuss later on, that's why Mashiach came to Lot. Because Lot, Avram did manage to plant something in Lot. Alright? And we'll talk about that later on. Why Mashiach Dafik comes from this very bizarre situation. But having said that, it's clear from the fact that the Torah describes him as Achim, which means that Rashi, they looked alike. Which, according to Chazal, means they had the same deos, similar, not just personalities, but deos means opinions or values. Which tells us that Lot, despite his rottenness and corruptness and twistedness, seemed to still have some of the virtues of Avram. We'll see that later on with the Chesed, certainly. And that's precisely why they went after him. So they went after Avram as a way, I'm sorry, they went after Lot as a way of going after Avram. We're attacking Avram by attacking Lot, who represents Avram. And now you understand another reason why Avram felt compelled to save Lot. Not only because he gave his word, and you might say in this case he's exempt, he gave his word, but to put his life in Sakona and to go a huge battle, maybe not. But he also saw the tremendous Chal Shem that could happen. If people understood or thought in any way that, not that, let's say Avram was kidnapped, but Avram's protege was kidnapped, that would also be a tremendous Chal Hashem. If this is Avram's God, his own protege gets kidnapped. So Avram understood the stakes over here were much higher. not only because he had to honor his word, but also because of the potential Chil Hashem. Because if Lot was seen on some level as a protege of Avram, it would be smirch. Avram was God as well. Oh, your God so powerless, he can't help you now? Because they saw Lot as an extension of Avram. So Avram is motivated also by the Chil Hashem piece as well.
Who told Avram Lot was captured?
Well, seen right now. That's possible.
Right now?
Oh. Right now.
Wow. That's weird.
All right? All
right? I just asked it.
Okay. Now the Sforno. Again, I just share with you the deeper pshat. The Sforno says it a little simpler. Which, guys, look at Sforno. Lot, Vayichu es Lot ben Achi Avram. His amsu lishbois es Lot. They planned on capturing Lot. B'pnei ben Achi Avram. So he says the same thing I'm telling you, that Ben Achi Avram is the motive for kidnapping Lot. I just added that's good for Rechusho. I added also that was his Rechush. Look what he says. She yada Oshroi. Vayimitzapim shivdu Avram behind Mav. Sforno says a whole different pshat. Much more simple. Not you know, on the spiritual plane they were attacking Avram. But look, please tell me what Sforno is saying, guys. Look at the Sforno. Tell me what you think he's saying.
Yeah.
What does that say?
I don't have this Sforno.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I do.
You have this.
Which one?
Vayichus light.
Here.
Ransom.
Wanted to. Ransom.
Yeah. Oh! Is that Ransom. Why'd they go after Lot?
Because
they knew how wealthy Avram was. All right.
Okay, but if they were kings of nations that were powerful enough to defeat these five kingdoms, then why take Lot?
Okay, so first of all, that's a good point. It's a fascinating point that these four kings just captured the five kings, which means they have all the spoils of war for five kings, right? And yet they still went after Lot for Avram's wealth.
It shows how rich Avram is.
Exactly. It shows you. It shows you how incredibly wealthy Avram was. That he had the power of a and the wealth of a king. And by the way, that's obviously part of Hashem's promise to him. But Rabbi said, why was Avram so wealthy? Well, not just enterprise. First of all,
going to the business of Kiru Rabbayim.
First of all, his business cost a lot of money.
That's right.
He's the one who invented free meals on wheels, right?
Yeah.
Avram invented free meals on wheels. That was Avram's invention. Whatever.
But he wasn't meals on wheels.
Here he was.
He was just meals.
No, on wheels.
He was the first hero to give free food.
Right. Sure was. What did he do? He went from place to place.
And he gave food.
And it's
a lesson that the way to the heart is through the stomach.
It was necessary.
Okay. Guys. Shh. But more than that, the wealth was there. We'll see later on that Abraham makes peace treaties with Abimelech. Right? Etc. etc. Now, normally, a private citizen doesn't make peace treaties with a country. You just do that. So, Avram is capable of making peace treaties. What does it tell us about him? What does it tell us about how the other kings viewed him?
They viewed him as the most important.
As a world power. As a world power. They didn't see him as just a private citizen. And where did that come from? Partly his tremendous wealth. That wealth gave him a world stage. And therefore gave him the opportunity to impact the world in many, many ways. So, cut it out. So that wealth gave him a world stage. It also gave him the opportunity, the ability to conduct world policy, as well as reach out to the world. So when they kidnapped Lot, they weren't just going after a private citizen with some private wealth. They just kidnapped, right? They just defeated five kings and took the spoils of war from five kings. And yet, somehow, going after Avram would have made them wealthier. It would have made a dent. It would have made more than a dent, right?
Was it known that he was a Jew?
What?
Was it known that he was like a Jew?
We'll see right now.
Aren't
Jews supposed to kind of lay low and not show off their wealth?
Okay, so in general, it's true. In Gullus in particular, In Galt in particular, Jews should not really flaunt his wealth. That's true. I don't know if this Avram stage would be considered gullus, and he certainly was an exception because he understood he had to be. He was acting as a patriarch, not just as a private citizen. A private citizen needs not to flaunt his wealth. Avram, Hashem gave him that wealth to accomplish what Hashem wanted him to accomplish. But in general, you're right.
Did yes. We say that Avram converted 1/3 of the...
I once either saw or heard that that's what the Malbim says in his Hakdama. I have to look it up. I haven't
because
seen it in a while.
If he converted 1/3 of the world, then that would explain why he was able to do the peace treaty. It doesn't mean that he had to be wealthy in order to do that.
Well, I don't know. He still need to be conducting himself like a king.
I mean, if 1/3 of the world did whatever like you told them to, I think you would be...
I don't know. You still got 2/3 of the world don't tell you what you're doing. I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. Right? It's not, you know.
I
don't know. Okay. Fine. You want to say? I don't think it's true. Fine.
But he
fine.
I mean, and he handed it that 1/3 of the vote is pretty powerful.
Okay. It's not as powerful as a guy has 2/3 of the vote.
Yeah, but realistically, nobody has.
So everybody says, Okay. Plus, I want to read Plus again. Well, then we'll read.
Which
Siddurim
is it
in? We'll do a nigga today.
Kachsof.
No, everyone knows it. Everyone knows it.
I don't know.
You know what the
answer? We'll get a couple. What is it in?
Brown.
Get the English.
All right. Guys, I just want to read the pasuk. Sit down. Stop. I just want to read the pasuk. Vayavai ha-polit. Vayagei la-avram ha-ivri. Listen, this pasuk is really, really important. But every phrase. Vayavai ha-polit. And the pullet means the refugee came. Yaged la Avram Ivri, and he told Avram Ivri, who shocher beli Mamre, and Avram was living in the fields of Mamre. Hemori, the Mamre, rather, Achi Eskov Achi Anar, and they were, they were friendly with Eshkol and Anar, and they were Balei Bris Avram, they had made a pact with Avram. This pasuk itself, you just read the pasuk. There's not a single part of this pasuk that really flows. And every part, just look at this pasuk and tell me what question you have on this pasuk.
All the questions. What's a
poet?
Okay.
What else?
And he told Avram the Ivri.
Yeah.
Is Avram an Ivri?
No!
Yes!
He was the Ivri.
What else?
He was the Allah Ivri.
He was Rabbi Ivri.
Alright, so bring that, maybe we'll conduct this.
Wait, can we see
Alright, so let's